Thank you all for being here again. Let's pray, and then dear Lord, just give me, you give me the words already. Let me speak with clarity so that they can hear what I'm saying, and just bless your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joshua 24:15, decisions. Joshua 24:15, we'll start out there. I've got a lot of Bible verses, and I even have a few words of my own tonight. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a well-known verse, a plaque on many walls, on many homes. Are they just pretty words, or do we live by what the verse says? Life is a series of decisions made every day that compound from one day to the next. Joshua started making decisions to serve God way before he had a family. Life is no more than is life. Life is more than a guessing game. What is behind door number one, or what is behind door number two? The Bible clearly tells us what is behind each door, and then we act surprised. Before Joshua was one of the 12 spies, Joshua was already making good choices in life. He didn't wake up one day and think, I will start serving God. Choices he made in the past made it possible for him to make the choices, do I trust God or not? He chose to trust God. If you trust someone, it usually means you do what they say. You ask someone for directions, do you follow their instructions? Do you read the side of a label? Do you follow the instructions? Sometimes we don't, and then we wonder why it turned out the way it did. Do we read the Bible and follow the directions? Life is a series of decisions. We have the ability to make the right choice every time with Christ's help. King Solomon, he was the wisest man. He made the wrong decisions later in his life, and he died a sad man. He started out relying on God. God asked him what he wanted. Solomon had a decision to make. He could have asked for fame or for wealth. Instead, he asked for wisdom. It is probably the most important thing you can ask for. It would be wise for us to ask for wisdom in the choices that we make. Today's choice is the footing for tomorrow's choices. Every day we live is nothing more or less than a series of choices. When we were young, someone made choices for us. But even in those choices, you decided if you wanted to participate. Let's start with school. You were made to go to school. You could not be made to learn. Some chose not to, and their life became extremely difficult. Others chose to learn, and it was a benefit in their life. Matthew 6, verse 27. Matthew 6, verse 27. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? God made some choices for us already. How tall or how short we are. I was going to say the color of our hair, but we seem to change that. So I will go with the amount. Some of us got it, some of us don't. Some people have music abilities, some are better at speaking. God made us the way we are, each one of us for a purpose. Psalm 139:14. Psalms 139:14. Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. I'm going to read 13 also. It's just a verse I like when it showed up there, but it has nothing to do with the message. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Kind of messes with abortion, doesn't it? There is a decision to be made. Am I happy with the way God made me? Here's another area I struggle with. Sometimes it is hard to accept the way God made me. I am not talking about excuses to sin. I'm short-tempered, looking at something we shouldn't. That's the way God made me. That don't cut it. Do we excuse away something that God has asked us to do because God made us a certain way? That's a choice we just made. We need to accept and be content with the way God made us. We also need to accept the way God made our neighbor. Are we covetous of what they have? Are we jealous of one another? It won't be long, and you won't like that person, and they did nothing wrong to you. Another decision leads to another. I don't know. Accepting is one thing. In everything, give thanks. Does that verse sound familiar? Do you ever thank God for who you are? I am not referring to the attitude of the Pharisees either. I thank God I'm not like you. Just look at how good I am. That's okay. Give it a little thought. Can you truly be thankful the way God made you, just the way you are? Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave it to him. He used it well for some time. It appears to me that Solomon, in all his wisdom, forgot that God gave it to him, for he started making choices that God told him not to make. To do the right thing or to make the right choice will not be always the easiest or the most convenient choice to make. To do right usually appears to be more costly than doing wrong. Do you lie to get yourself off the hook? It clears you at the time, but it seems if you get caught, it usually costs more than admitting it up front. To live for God is not free or easy. It may not appear that it is worth it at the time. The cost can never be too great to do right, for the cost of doing wrong is always greater. I want to take some time and talk about Solomon and the outcome of the decisions he made that affected his life and the life of his son. King Solomon was the wisest man. He stumbled and stumbled very hard. Choices, can we mess up? Most definitely. Do we make them without thinking? That sounds good to me. Do we weigh the cost? How will that affect my family, my walk with God? God asked Solomon what he wanted, and King Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Verse 10. This is Solomon speaking, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this people that is so great? Verse 12. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that they have seen before, neither shall there be any after thee like thee. God had safeguards already in place for the kings of Israel to keep them headed in the right direction. It was up to King Solomon whether or not he followed them. Choices to be made. Wisdom would be following those safeguards. Pride seems to creep up everywhere. Are we humble? We need to stay humble before God. I think pride gets us into more trouble than anything. What's in it for me? I want that. It seems to get us into more trouble more often than not. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There is a lot more to that verse. It starts all the way back up in chapter 3. In chapter 3, King Solomon starts to build the temple or the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. It took about 7 years to complete and several chapters of telling of its making and the making of its utensils. All the cedar trees that were hauled in from Lebanon, all the gold, all the brass, even the floor was overlaid in gold. It must have been quite a sight. At completion, he had a dedication service and gave it to God. He sacrifices sheep and oxen. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 6. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 6. And also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. King Solomon is on the scaffold in the middle before his knees before God. He tells God, we are all but flesh. We will do wrong, and if we admit the wrong and change our direction. King Solomon is asking God to forgive them and bless them once again. God hears and answers his prayer in 2 Chronicles 7:12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for the house of sacrifice. I got several more verses I want to read here. It's going 12 through 14. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among thy people, then 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Then we go to the second part of this, when they do not obey. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and it's 19 through 22. So same chapter, 19 through 22. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, and I cast it out of thy sight. I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations, and this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to every one that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought this evil upon them. I want to turn over to 2 Kings, chapter 25, verse 8 and 9. It tells of the destruction of the temple. 2 Kings 25. Eight and nine. And in the fifth month of the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. What's behind second door number two? Humility is door number one. Do we do our best at obeying God? And when he shows us what we have done wrong, we need to admit what we did wrong with no excuses and start doing what he has asked. Door number two, pride. I know what is best. I no longer need to consult God and ask for direction. Let's go back to the safeguards, okay? We find them in Deuteronomy chapter 17, 14 through 20. Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, 14 through 20. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou possess it, I shall dwell therein, and thou shalt say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in thy wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from every among thy brethren shalt thou set the king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses unto himself. Listen, okay, horses. Nor cause the people of Egypt to return to Egypt. To the end he should multiply horses, forasmuch as the Lord hath said unto you, he shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be then he sitteth upon his throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in the book, that which is before the priests of the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and the statutes, to do them. And his heart will not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand nor to the left, to the end may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. Verse 16 talks about not multiplying horses to yourself. Let's turn back to Solomon, all right? Second Chronicles 9:25. Second Chronicles chapter 9, verse 25. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots. I think he multiplied the horses a little bit, don't you? And 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed upon the chariot cities and with the king of Jerusalem. All right, number one, did he make it or not? Okay, the wives is the next one. Let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verses 1 through 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zeodians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Away. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and his heart was not as David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zeodians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did King Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all the strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifices unto other gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord of God of Israel, that appeared unto him twice. Okay, next one, multiply gold and silver. We'll go back to 2 Chronicles 9:22. 2 Chronicles 9:22. 2 Chronicles chapter 9:22. This is just a short verse. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. If God gives you something, you better make sure you use what he has given you. Let me say that again. If God gives you something, you better make sure you use what he has given you for the purpose he has given it to you. Don't just assume he has given it to you for you or me for me. Okay? King Solomon failed to use the wisdom that God gave to him. Solomon loved God and then runs off and marries Pharaoh's daughter. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. And Solomon made of him. With Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. He knew it was not right, for he built her a house outside the city of David. We'll turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 11. 2 Chronicles 8, verse 11. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. I'm afraid he knew he was doing what was not right. There is no wisdom without obedience. You don't have to be smart to have wisdom. If you know what is right and you choose to do what is right, you are wise. You need to know what the Bible says. Or if you don't know what the Bible says, take time to find out what the Bible says. You can find most subjects in the Bible by using a concordance. There's a little one in the back of many Bibles. You can use your phone to find a subject in the Bible. I say that very carefully. Read the verses given to you. Make sure it's King James Version and not what people think it says. A dictionary seems to be a lot of help if the word you do not understand. There can be no one wiser than the person that follows the Bible. King Solomon, poor choices. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. One through 11. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet accounting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of man, which they should do under the heaven and all the days of their life. Pay attention to the word I in these next verses and see if he ever gives God any credit for anything that's happened, all right? I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them, all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of the kings of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and all the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me with God's grace. And whosoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from my joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the work that my hands had wrought, and all the labor I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no prophet under the sun. How many times do you see the word I show up? How many times the words we see God gave to me? Solomon did everything God told him not to do. King Solomon, how many wives did he have? Did he acquire wealth? Did he keep his Bible with him at all times and read it, understand it, for it will keep him in remembrance of who he is and of who God is, for if we read it, it'll keep us in remembrance of who we are. God knows pride will destroy us. We are to keep it in check. If all we do are make decisions on how something will benefit me, it will ruin our life and probably the ones closest to us. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, and all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon ended up hating life and probably lost his son. Ecclesiastes 2:19. And whoso knoweth whether he be a wise man or a fool? How would you like to say that about your kids? Yet he have rule over all my labor. He have rule over wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes start out almost the same way. Proverbs 1:1. They're Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. King Solomon wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Complete opposites, yet they are not. In Proverbs, he is looking at life when he is in obedience to God. Door number 1. And Ecclesiastes is when he chose not to follow God. Door number 2. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity defined is empty, okay? Something that has no value. Ecclesiastes 2, 17 and 18. This is what he gets. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I have taken under the sun, because I should not leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Okay. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 2 and 3. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 2 and 3. Listen to this. Wherefore I praise the dead. He wants to be dead. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. For better is he than both they which have not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. I don't think he was happy with the choices that he made. Those same doors are set before you and I every day. It is not a guessing game. We know which door to pick. We don't just get to pick it and it's ours. It is a choice that is made every day, all day long, all the days of our lives. We must be alert at all times. Proverbs explains the reward of a wise man if one follows God's path, or the reward of a fool if one chooses his own way. Ecclesiastes is the proof of one's life when you choose not to follow the path God has laid out for you. Solomon's reward, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11. 1 Kings 11. Therefore the Lord saith unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend thy kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. King Solomon started down the right path and ended up on the wrong one. We must be careful, for so shall we. There is a third door when it comes to decision making. Some decisions are not cut and dry. but they do have a bearing on will it be easier or harder to pick door number one. And if I can say this, God does have an opinion on what he thinks that best choice is, and it is best if we know what that opinion is or what he thinks. Who am I going to marry? Do I go to college when I graduate high school? What college should I attend? Where do I go to find a job? Who is the next pastor of the church going to be? These decisions, one are we about to make. We shouldn't make them without first consulting God. Pray about it. Fast. Read your Bible. If your decision pulls you away from your relationship with God, it probably shouldn't even be a consideration. Should I look for employment in a bar? Should I marry someone that worships strange gods? Does this choice I'm about to make draw me closer to God, or does it cause me to distance myself from God or my friends that are friends with God? There will be a big decision we will make in the near future, and that is who our next pastor will be. It is really not our decision to make, is it? This is the Christ Church. This is Christ's church. He owns it. Do we let him guide it in the way he desires it to go? I believe he knows who will best fit that place in the body we call the church. God has more invested in this church than any of us. Because of that, he will do what is best for the church. And our part is to be sensitive to his leadership and submissive to his will. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you and the knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. God knows who he wants to be our next pastor. We need to pray, ask for wisdom, even fast, and read your Bible in order to hear from God about this matter. The next few statements are my thoughts, okay? You don't have to agree. It is the way I see the importance of making this decision. I'm going to use a couple comparisons. We know Christ is the head of the church. That is a given, right? That's not my opinion. Christ is the head of the body, and he places you and I where he best sees fit. I'm going to use the example of a kidney and make it the pastor. I'm not saying that he is a kidney. I am using it in the way of an illustration for this to work. The kidney must be compatible for the recipient, so the recipient's body does not reject the kidney. I guess the blood type and all of that. I'm no doctor. I know that if that body rejects the kidney, it will die. We are in need of a pastor, not just a pastor that is well qualified, lots of degrees on the wall. On a paper, he could be the perfect man to fill the position of a pastor. It could be he has the wrong blood type. Christ knows who will best fit the need of our church. We need to pray and ask for wisdom to allow Christ to show us who he'd like to fill those shoes. It is more than filling a position. It is almost like getting married. For when you are married, you are either stuck with your spouse for life, or you will enjoy each other's company. You share your life with your spouse. Will we not be serving Christ together, the pastor and us? I would like to think it is best enjoyed if we enjoyed each other's company. In closing, we all make decisions. We need to keep Christ in the equation and pride out. All the decisions we make should in some way benefit our walk with Christ, draw us closer to him. They should never hinder or discourage our relationship with Christ. Our first decision should be one as accepting Christ as our Savior and then allowing him to direct us in the way we should go. Can I get everybody please stand up? Closing.